Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair Niçoise eggs with a Pinotage Pet Nat.
And we talk about birth control, London Pride, and birthday anxiety.
Hello!
Welcome back. So I'll have what she's having.
Welcome back. Me and Sophie are in a chaotic mood this morning. Sophie arrived an hour ago. We've only just started recording.
I don't even know what we've been doing, just hanging out.
We've just been hanging out and wasting time cooking food, preparing wine, and chatting shit.
As we are wont to do.
As is our right.
As is our God-given right.
I'm also feeling a little bit sensitive this morning because I was out at my partner's birthday last night. And even though... So I'm trying to cut out beer, right? Because every time I cut out beer, I magically lose lots of weight and my body feels healthier for some reason.
But beer's so yummy.
But beer's so good. I know, I love beer. So I was just... So instead of doing that, I'm having spirits instead. So I'm having a vodka, soda, lime cordial.
Such a skinny bitch at the pub move.
Which meant that obviously I was drinking it like it was juice because I couldn't taste the vodka, and I've like bruised my knee about half an hour in.
Oof. Yeah, for a Sunday afternoon drinking sesh, getting on the vodka straight away always feels like it's gonna be a hardcore day.
Yeah, my partner looked at me as if to say, please don't fucking do this. Not it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you just got here.
I think it's partially why I like drinking beer at the pub. It feels like the most casual choice.
You can drink a lot of it very quickly and you won't like get that drunk.
And you are allowed beer really early in the day. It feels more socially acceptable.
Wait, are you?
says our British blood.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like it's more socially acceptable to have a beer at 11 a.m. than it is any other drink. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we're going to be having some wine at 10 a.m, which... I'm very excited for...
What are we drinking?
Oh, yeah. Should we just launch into it? Yeah, let's not waste any fucking time. We've already wasted enough. So we used to do the food first. Now we do the drinks first.
We just switch up. We're keeping you on your toes. We're keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, we're building you up to the main event. So we are having a wine that I'm sure lots of people have seen on social media. Their marketing has been absolutely incredible. I am, of course, talking about Nouveau wine. They're a very exciting new wine company that exists to kind of inject a little bit of fun, a bit of culture into wine. Like, I think that where craft beer is kind of hitting all of like the cultural keystones of the moment, I think that they're starting to do a similar thing with wine. I mean, Action Bronson was pictured with it. They had like a rave on a bus with all the wine. And this potluck is their Pet Nat. So Pet Nat, as we all know, is a sparkling wine made in the ancestral method, meaning that it doesn't undergo two fermentations like a champagne or a Crémant. It only undergoes one, kickstarted by natural yeast on the grapes. All of their wines thus far are South African, and this is no different. It's 100% Pinotage, which is a bit weird if you know, and not a lot of people love Pinot Tage. It's like a very big, bold, boisterous, tannic grape. It gets a really bad rap for being a bit unsubtle, not that nice, like can be quite big and bulky. But they've done something really, really different with this. This is a really, really interesting, delicious wine, and I really, really love it. I really like it when they send me a bottle. So to say thank you, I'm putting it on the podcast this week. So thank you, Nouveau, for always sending me a bottle of Potluck. I really, really do like it. I think I've fallen a bit out of love with Pet Nats recently because I just had like a couple of like really shit yeasty examples.
Yeah, fair
I was just
enough.
Like, oh. Not like kind of yeasty, because obviously it's going to be a bit funky. I'm not a fucking moron, but
too much.
Too much.
When the funk isn't nice.
When funk is fault, that's when you're like, I like a little bit of funk, but yeah, this is a bit much. Yeah.
It happens with the Inattis, doesn't it?
But yeah, no, I'm very excited to give it a try. And what are we eating this morning that's slowly cooling down in front of us as we waste time?
Not bloody chit chat. Well, I love potluck as well. It's got really nice, like, grapefruity, acidic notes. So I wanted to go with something that felt quite summery that would go with that. So I had an original plan of something I was going to cook, and then I changed my mind last night. I was going to make just a salad niçoise, which I think goes really nicely with a nice juicy citrus wine. But I've decided instead to do some tuna niçoise eggs. So they're almost like shakshuka, but I've braised some green beans in lots of shallots and garlic and chili. There's some dried oregano in there. And then I've added some tuna and some really plump black olives. I've then nestled eggs into that on the stovetop.
Looks so good. I'm
popped a lid on it, and I've steamed eggs. You know when you put eggs in the oven? I feel like the eggs never do what you want them to do.
I genuinely don't think I've ever put eggs in an oven.
I feel like when you do baked eggs in the oven, you crack the eggs in, you put them under, the yolks go like completely solid and they go turn this like strange matte colour on top.
Yeah.
You get to preserve much more of the texture if you do it on the stovetop and gently steam them. Mm-hmm. So the yolks aren't like totally liquid here, but the whites are totally solid, which is more my aim in this situation.
Ooh, it smells so good.
And then we're eating with some nice bread from your local baker, actually.
Mm.
Breed.
I love Breed.
It's Breed, right?
Yeah, shout out Breed.
Yeah.
They're so good. I don't know why more people don't love them, but it's really funny. So yeah, Breed, that's near to where I live, Sophie's just gone to go and get the bread from. They do coffee in the morning, and it's very much like a local spot. Like, if you know it's there, then you know it's there. I think even people who live in East London don't really know of its existence. But a coffee shop kind of opened up in an arch nearby, and no one is outside and everyone's at Breed, so I'm really happy that they didn't come and like move in on their fun.
No, just keep their custom.
Mm.
And I'm funny about eggs, as I'm sure I've talked about in this podcast a million fucking times, because I bang on about it constantly. But I know that you're an egg lover, and I figured it'd be nice to have something that was quite like light lunchy.
Mm.
Not going to say the dreaded B word, but bit brunchy.
I do really love eggs. It's true. Mm.
And I love tuna. Make tin tuna great again.
I love tuna so much.
People love slagging off tin tuna, saying it looks like cat food. It's delicious. It's good for you.
I like...
It's cheap.
As someone who ate cat food as a dare as a kid, I can't remember what. It doesn't taste that bad.
What kind of cat food was it? What flavour?
It wasn't like... I didn't have to eat like the whole thing. I just ate like a nugget of it.
Was it dry or wet?
It was wet. It was good.
But it was okay.
It was good.
You weren't going back into the tin for more, though?
No, because I'm not a cat. I was...
I don't know, maybe you liked it so much you decided to be a cat.
You know what? That'd be so funny if this was just like my way of coming out and saying, like, guys, I've been eating like a tin of cat food a week.
I've been having a bit of a hard time. It's my comfort food.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't remember it tasting that bad. It just tastes like meat and jelly.
Yeah. I imagine it doesn't taste that dissimilar from tinned meat or fish.
No. Speaking of amazing things that we love eating, did you have anything nice to eat this week?
No cat food to speak of.
No.
But I did have... I've actually been a real sport about this week. I've been out for so many meals.
Oh, nice.
It's been one of those... I went out for dinner 4 times between Friday night and Sunday lunch.
Excuse me?
Four meals out.
Friday night?
Between Friday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, I went out for 4 meals, which is a little bit much, isn't it?
That is incredible.
But they were all great. We had a lovely lunch together on Friday.
Did we? Oh, yeah, we did.
I don't recall.
I don't remember that. It must have been great for you. No. No,
at the Red Lion and Sun.
So good. So much fun. Thank you so much, Journey's End, for having us. Lots of South African wine going on today.
I know. Do you know what? I feel like I'm really unqualified in talking about South African wine. I don't drink a lot of South African wine generally, but I really, really loved all the Journey's End wine that we tried. Some really lovely Chardonnays, some lovely chilled reds.
Yeah.
And I love Nouveau wine as well. So maybe I actually do love South African wine, and there's something I need to do more of.
It was just one of those press meals where you turn up and like you have 2 stars and you're like, wow, that was an amazing meal. And then they broke out literally the biggest plate of meat you've ever seen. You're just like,
oh. I honestly think it was my dream meal. There was like this big tomato and burrata salad. Then there was langoustines. Then there was chili lobster, like Singapore style chili lobster.
Oh, that was probably my favourite. That's like my favourite kind of dish.
And then for the mains, it was just this enormous fucking meat platter with sausages, right, lamb chops, steak, pork chops, chips, béarnaise, salad. I just seafood platter followed by big meaty chips and sauces.
Oh my God.
Unreal.
Absolutely amazing.
I actually had to leave before we even got to pudding and cheese.
Yes, so did I.
Did you as well?
I did. They passed out 2 more wines because I was trying really hard not to drink that day, but they were like, oh, you must try this. I was like, okay. And you had a nice lunch out on your own.
I did. Oh my God. Basically, I've got this, it's almost like a lifelong phobia of eating out by myself or people being by themselves and eating alone. I had this thing where I went to visit my dad when he's been self-employed for years, but he like used to work in an office in the centre of town. I think it must have been about 11. And me and my big sister went and met him for lunch in his lunch break. And he like took us to Itsu to get sushi. And we sat in this little square. And there was this man sat by himself on a park bench eating a sandwich. And he looked so sad. And I cried in the park because I was so upset.
Sophie.
This man looked so upset. And my dad was teasing me about it, saying, you know that I do that. When you're not here eating lunch with me, I'm the man by himself, sitting, eating lunch on the bench by himself.
Oh my God,
upset.
It's like a story from like a Robin Williams film.
Honestly, truly it was. And it's like really scarred me, even though he was probably having a lovely time and I was putting all my own feelings on it. But I've been terrified of eating by myself and I'm trying to train myself out of it because I feel like it's a really lovely thing to do for yourself. Eating for me is such a social thing, but I also feel like it's really important for self-care and self-love as well. So I'm trying to practice that and take myself out for meals. So I went out for lunch by myself for the first time last week.
Where did you go?
I went to Tandoor Chop House, where I'd never been before. Our really good friends at Two Hot Asians were doing a pop-up there. Anna, one half of Two Hot Asians, was on the podcast previously, so you might have heard about her. And they were doing this, it was so good. It was a prawn naan.
Ooh,
with like
the
mango
kefir
and
one?
Curry butter and kefir lime leaves. It was ridiculous.
But I think I missed the boat on that one.
No! Oh, it's so good. Anna's got plenty more pop-ups going on though. So you and any listener to want to eat her food.
Yes.
Keep rice peeled.
She's also popping up on the grills, which is, you got cooked for by, indirectly cooked for by Anna.
I've been cooked for Anna many times recently and I love it. I'm going to another one of her pop-ups in a few weeks. This is just an Anna Stan podcast now.
Yeah.
It was great. But I have to say, the thing about eating out by yourself is, I just want to try loads of different things. And when you're by yourself, you do have to restrict yourself a bit more.
Because otherwise there's all the waste.
I did actually take the biggest doggy bag home with me. So it didn't go to waste at all. But I did feel like I felt a bit self-conscious ordering as much as I did. I did want to try so much. It was great though. Go check out Tandoor Chop House. I'd never been before and thought the food was lovely.
Go eat
Anna's food separately. She's popping up at the Albi.
Yes.
Which is at the Hoxton Hotel in Southwark every Sunday in July, cooking on the grills there.
It looks so good.
Can also confirm that.
I really want to taste her crack pie.
I had it for the first time yesterday.
What's it like?
The pandan crack pie. Delicious. I took my friend Tilda with me and she said it's the best pudding she's ever had. So you heard it here first.
What's the best pudding you've ever had?
But that's a really hard question because I'm not a crazy pudding head.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint the best pudding I've ever had, if I'm really honest with myself. I can pinpoint the kind of puddings that I like, but I don't think that I'd like fantasize about puddings that I've eaten in a certain place. It would just be something like a really good apple crumble that I've had at a point, or do you know what? One of my sister's ex-boyfriend's mums
Okay.
Made a really good tiramisu.
Ooh.
And she knew that I was really into food. So whenever my sister Maddie used to go around to their house, she'd like bring back Tupperware for me to try all her food.
Mm-hmm.
His mum was like a brilliant cook. I'm sure she still is. Wherever she is now.
Wherever she is, whatever she's doing.
But she used to bring Tupperware home for me to try her cooking. And her tiramisu was pretty spectacular.
Oh, I told you this before. I don't like tiramisu.
You don't like tiramisu?
No.
I don't know this about you.
I don't like coffee-based desserts.
Interesting. I don't like coffee-based coffee, but I do like coffee-based dessert.
Interesting.
Yang and Yang, what's your best dessert?
My best dessert in recent memory, because I'm not as big of a sweet girl as I used to be, but I still am. Like, I still will always have a dessert because I like it. So my favorite dessert, like if it's on a list, has to be a lemon tart. Lemon tart is like hands down my favorite. And there's like a dollop of meringue, like not too big, like not crazy, like a little dollop of meringue on top, better. But I like a really, 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 really sour, tart, creamy lemon bit. And then I want the tart on the outside to be like so hard that you have to like bite
crisp,
into
crisp,
it.
Crisp pastry.
I don't like a crumbly pastry tart. But one of the best desserts that I've had of recent years was Chets. I will bang on about how much I really enjoyed Chets. I've like, not that I wasn't expected to, but I just didn't expect. I mean, like, yeah, to all intents and purposes, it's a restaurant and a hotel. But so this is Chets in the Hoxton and Shepherd's Bush. And oh my goodness, it's so good.
It is.
Such a nice time. And I had, I think it's called the Thai tea cream pie, and it's so good. So it says Thai tea steeped American pudding filled in a ginger cookie crumb crust topped with whipped cream. So good.
Ooh.
And another dessert that I really enjoyed. I also really like tart tatin. Basically.
Yeah, same.
If it's a tart, then I'm on it. I can't remember exactly what the place is called, but my partner took me to it the last time we were in Paris. It's by the Louvre, and it's got gorgeous red leather seats.
It's one of those things where people love dunking on classic French cooking as being like not that interesting these days. They do the puds really well.
They do the puds so good.
I love all of it, to be fair. I love your pâtés. I love your cassoulets. I love all the hearty French stuff. But the puds, a good chocolate mousse.
A good chucky mousse. Speaking of goings on in the Hoxton, I found it really, really amusing. And I would love to hear your opinion on this. They are doing a pop-up / residency with Meme account, Real Housewives of Clapton.
I saw this.
Yes. What do you think?
I haven't. Well, what is the lay of the land? Is it a one night only pop up?
They've
filled
become
with
the very thing that they set out to destroy.
So what are they doing? Is it going to be kind of, you know, Gilda skewers with Pirello olives and natural wine, and what's the crack with it?
The crack is, let me get this up. It's a collab menu, and it just looks like biodynamic wine, Torres, and Pirello.
So just nibbles.
Yeah. So housewife's dinner: skewered Pirello olives, pickle chili, Ortiz anchovies. So yeah,
classic.
Predicted a crisp
that.
Sandwich: focaccia, truffle mayo, Torres truffle crisps, mortadella, rocket fresh mozzarella.
Lovely.
And beans on toast, sourdough toast, tomato, white beans, garlic, and herbs. Plus much more, and lots of biodynamic wine.
It feels like quite cannibalistic that this is the way that things have gone.
Yeah.
I don't know what I make of that, to be honest. I feel like it's obviously great marketing.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it's, maybe it's funny, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's just, it feels like it's monetizing the very thing that the Royal Housewives of Clapton make their money off, which is dunking off people living in this way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's just validating all of our decisions from this moment on.
But the reason I like Royal Housewives of Clapton is, yes, they are dunking, but they're doing it from like a self-aware place, because they're, if it's who I 95% think it is.
Do you think you know who the specific person is?
I think I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And if I do know who it is, and if you're listening, I know who you are. Not that it matters.
Bleep it
out.
We
met like once.
Tell me who you think it is.
It's
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What makes you think it's him?
So, everything's just kind of like lined up. So I think it was me and Bam Sham. I was having a conversation with Maria actually about it.
Ah.
We were talking about it, and got Anxious Sighthounds, did a residency at the hand looks like his. It just probably is him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But they're very much like Real Housewives of Clapton are very much dunking on a sect or of society that they're already very much part of.
Yeah, totally. Also, if it is that person, I love that person and all their work. And that actually just makes me love them more.
Yeah, perfect. So, sorry, I just got a text back from my partner at the place by the Louvre that does an amazing tartatin and generally, like, brilliant French food, bistro dining. They're very nice and they speak English. They're very sweet. It's called A Jean Nico. So
nice.
J-E-A-N-N-I-C-O-T. I don't know why I'm remembering. It's literally over there. It's literally spelled it over there.
Great.
What did you get up to this weekend?
I feel like I saw you so recently, but in between those times, I went to London Pride, which was so fun. I was having lunch in Soho. Anyway, side note, went to Rita's for the first time, thought it was lovely.
Ooh, nice.
Had really nice fried chicken, Caesar salad, lovely cocktails, little table outside, great. The vibes at London Pride are just so good. I have been in a very crowded environment at Glastonbury not long before then, which feels... Glastonbury is a very loving, happy environment. And I think as far as crowded places to go, that's one of the better ones you can be in. Pride is that times a million. Mm. I've never felt more safe in such a crowded space. The sense of community that you get there is just incredible. So many amazing floats going past and not just like corporate stick a rainbow on it ones. Mm. I saw that the whole cast of Heartstopper were on a float. Did you ever watch Heartstopper? Oh my gosh, Heartstopper was this great show on Netflix. I think season 2 is coming out soon about kind of like young queer love in a school in the UK.
Oh yes, I think I did see that. Yeah.
Olivia
yeah.
Colman was a mum in it and like the young cast were all incredible. Mm. Yeah, they were all on a float and there was the most measly shitty little crowd of anti-Pride protesters.
What?
Going to Pride.
What?
But I mean, it's so fucking pathetic.
What do those signs even say?
They're about like the wrath of Christ and stuff.
Oh, one of those.
Some nice religious anti-gay stuff.
I didn't think we had those over here.
Yeah, nor did I. I mean, not very many of them. There was legitimately about 4 of them in all the pictures that I saw.
That's embarrassing.
And it was like, it's quite embarrassing. And everyone on the floats is just being like, wee at them. Like there's absolutely nothing they can do.
Read the room.
It just felt like a really jubilant, happy day. Dancing in the streets. Everyone's super friendly, chatting to loads of people. There's obviously a lot of anti-gay sentiment that goes on globally still. And especially now in the US, they've just ruled that you are allowed to discriminate against people.
Yeah.
Because their sexuality.
Good old fashioned discrimination. Yeah, you're legally...
We love to see it.
You're legally now... We absolutely don't. Allowed to refuse your services to someone because you don't agree with their sexuality. But the woman who tried to get this law put in the first place, this legislation put in the first place, used an example of something that didn't even happen.
These people are just so dishonest.
You can't make legislation over hypotheticals. She said like, oh yeah, this couple asked me to make a gay wedding website because she was like a website maker or something.
Oh,
it turns out that never even happened.
Fucking hell. I know that Pride will technically be over by the time, like Pride Month will be over by the time this episode airs, but we very much stand for all of these things all year round and stand with all LGBTQ plus communities. And bloody love Pride. If you ever want to have a fucking great time, go to Pride.
Yeah. I've never been to a Pride before.
You? Not
no.
been to Brighton Pride?
Oh, no, I have been to Pride. I went with my sister to Nottingham Pride.
What's Nottingham Pride like?
I imagine like London Pride, but smaller.
Bit smaller, yeah.
And with
I mean, I'm sure the vibe's also yeah. great.
It was really, really nice. It was more of kind of like a parade. So like walking from one place to another rather than like centralised activity.
Yeah.
There was a lot of steps, which was good. But no, it was really nice. Nottingham's a really, really good city for that. I love Nottingham in general. But no, I've never been to a Pride. I think maybe for the same reason that like, I just don't do very well in big crowds.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same. I'm a real like anxious girl in the crowds, especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, I was like starting to feel a bit, I felt a bit anxious in festival environments and in clubs and stuff. But post-COVID, I hated the crowds.
Yeah, I went to Notting Hill Carnival once. For like 10 minutes, I had a panic attack and I had to come home.
Okay, last time I went to, that happened to Cam. Last time that we went to Carnival, Cam was like, I actually can't be in this crowd. Can we leave? And we left after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I used to love it when I was younger, but now it is just quite...
It is intense.
Stuck. Stuck if in the mud. But conversely, pride is also, if you're an ally, I feel like it's important to also attend pride events. I feel like it's... And maybe it's the same for Notting Hill Carnival. As long as you're not being disrespectful.
Yeah.
Then
make it about
Then everybody's welcome.
So long as you don't like do the Adele Bantu knots, then you're fine.
Oh God.
Do you remember that? I feel like everyone's forgotten about that.
Yeah, we will never forget that. Please, please, please do not do any inappropriate hairstyles if you're attending Carnival this year.
The only time where I've ever seen that as an appropriate hairstyle is when someone dressed up as her.
Oh yes. Yeah, that's okay, more meta, more allowed.
There we go. This is more meta, more allowed.
Cam actually went to Bristol Carnival, St. Paul's Carnival. The weekend just gone, which should be a couple of weeks before this airs. And he says that was amazing. Like,
really?
He really wants to go back to that one. Like, so much less crowded, but still, like, the same really good vibes, just with less of the stress.
Okay. I like less stress. That sounds good.
Less stress.
Okay. Well. Maybe I will go to Carnival this year. It's always around my birthday.
Yeah.
It's always around my birthday.
What are you going to do for your birthday this year?
I don't know. Parties stress me out. I always get really upset when people can't come or people drop out. And then it just becomes more sad than it's worth.
Classic no one's going to come to my party anxiety.
Well, yeah, I think also like, I don't know whether it's the time of the year or whether it's to do with me, but like, I don't think I've ever been the person that like people would like want to come. Like people would rather
do
other things.
Oh no, Han, that's not true.
No.
No, I think it's just because it's summer. People are on holiday a lot of the time, aren't they?
I think, yeah, maybe I'll do something this year, but maybe not. I don't know. I want to save myself the stress.
I think it's the thing of, I think everyone gets a bit of birthday anxiety. It's just a good time to gather people that you do like, and it never has to be something that's very big.
Mm.
Maybe just do like a I'm going to be at this pub, come by situation. That's what you did last year, didn't you?
Yes, it is what I did last year. I did, I'm going to be at this pub for way longer than I probably should have been at the pub. I think I was there from 2 and I got home at 12.
Mm.
That's not a good idea.
A long innings.
I think I'm going to start a little bit later this year. I'll probably give you the same pub that I'll do as last year. But birthday anxiety has always been something. I think it kind of stems from, as we've spoken about in therapy, it all stems back to when you were a kid.
Yeah, and, every damn time.
feeling really anxious about like, also just not really, I think you build up birthdays in your head. And
oh yeah, big time.
It's the same reason that kind of like I don't really get excited for Christmas anymore. God, I sound so depressed.
No, it's just there's a lot of social anxiety that comes with these events, and it can feel like it's a bit of a popularity contest sometimes. If people are like posting a lot, people like, I don't know, I always feel like it's like the super sweet 16 effect, and the way that lots of birthdays are chronicled on social media in the classic way that social media isn't an accurate snapshot of how someone's actually feeling. It's just the highlights reel.
Mm-hmm.
But if people who are either like celebrities or just, you know, people who you have on social media are posting about their birthdays in this really glorified way, then it does make you feel a bit
having
shit.
Like a massive party.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make you feel a bit shit when you don't feel that way.
Ooh.
You just have to take the pressure off it, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a celebrity yet.
So, you're a celebrity to me.
Thank you, Sophie. Even though it's just me and you, I'll be happy.
I'll be there. To show that my uncle's cancelled our holiday, so I will actually be in town.
Yay!
So, me and you, baby, we'll go to the pub.
Your uncle cancelled your holiday. Was he coming or did he just cancel your holiday?
We were supposed to go into my uncle lives in Spain. We're supposed to be going there and he uninvited us. Because it sounds like something more dramatic happened. He's having work done in his house. So it's not going to be done in time.
That's actually so funny. My uncle, I can't come. Sorry, guys. My uncle like, cancelled my holiday.
Yeah, my uncle told me I'm not allowed to come to his house. He's disowned me. No, he's all right. I'll go another time when the work's done.
I don't have any family that live abroad.
He is my one. He's my dad's twin brother.
Ooh. Who's the evil one?
Ooh, it's a good question. I would say that my dad's twin is probably the evil twin, but that's not true. I think my dad's just like the... Chris is like the more loosey-goosey twin and my dad's the more like organised twin.
Okay.
Neither of them evil, just very different. Chris's chaos twin, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Even as an adult, will like regularly like miss planes and stuff.
Oh, I've never missed a plane before in my life.
No, nor have I. Can't imagine how anxious that makes you. Yeah, he will miss his flights. He'll accidentally go to the wrong airport. This man is 60.
So I've been having like some mad nightmares. I had sleep paralysis the first time in ages the other night. I hated it. I hate sleep paralysis.
What happens when you get sleep paralysis?
Have you ever had it before? You might have had it before. Wake up from your dream or nightmare in my case. And you're awake and you're trying to talk, but no sound is coming out and your eyes are closed and you can't move. And you like kind of have to like almost jerk yourself out of that sleep. I think it's just because I've been going too hard because it's my partner's birthday week. And we've just done nothing but get pissed.
That week's been a bit like that. I really need to, she says, drinking pet nat this morning.
Yeah.
Stay off the booze a bit. This is adulthood. I'm sure that you have this situation as well.
Yeah.
I used to think that, like, how does anyone ever have, like, a bottle of wine in the house that they're not drinking as, like, a ratchet 22-year-old? But now I have constantly lovely bottles of wine kicking around that will sit there for sometimes months at a time.
Yeah.
I don't have a good time to crack this open right now.
If I subscribed to that school of thought, I would be dead.
Yeah.
I would literally be dead.
Yeah.
How much do you have to drink till you get liver failure? Asking for a friend. I think you probably have to do it like a lot worse than what we do, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're pretty measured.
Yeah.
Considering our industries as well.
Yeah, I would say, okay, cool.
We're fine.
Okay, cool. I have actually genuinely been thinking that. I've kind of got to the stage now where I kind of want to like life prolong, life extend. And I'm like, I'll have like, don't at me, guys, okay? But I'm having like 2 cigarettes a day at the moment, which is nice.
Fine.
And it's like my effort to quit. But I still feel like they fuck me up so bad.
Yeah.
I'm such a pussy.
No.
I feel like such a little bitch. But I feel like they fuck me up so bad. And then I get really nervous that there's 2 cigarettes and meaning that I'm going to have like a heart attack or something.
I feel like we're nearly at the point where we're all going to start paying for like whole body MOTs.
Yeah.
Check my liver function, check my lungs.
Can you do that?
My heart, okay. I think you can. Probably costs a fucking bomb. But at some point, my anxiety is going to take me there.
Can you not just go to the GP and ask for some tests?
I think you have to ask for more specific. You can't just be like, can you check everything?
Test me.
Send me to the hospital, please, NHS, and scan everything.
Oh, I can't remember the last time I went to the doctors.
Yeah, I feel like I've got an ever lengthening list of things I need to get.
Went as a first port of call back on the breast reduction discourse. I asked really nicely, like, is there any way you could do it on the NHS, please? Because my back really hurts and my neck hurts and everything sucks. And they basically said, unless you're going to harm yourself because your boobs are too big, then they're not going to do it.
Oh.
Or you're literally, your tits are like the size of you.
That's so mean.
Yeah, it's fine. So it just means I've got to spend lots of lovely money to do something that should be free, but whatever. I'm not doing it for vanity reasons, I promise.
It'll be worth it.
My God, so heavy. I feel like I'll sit like this all the time. I'll just be
your posture will be incredible.
Oh, big click.
I just realised that I've been slouching like a little witch all morning. Yeah. Stretch it out. This is now a yoga podcast.
You are a little witch.
I am a witch.
Right, should we do some letters?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hormonal contraception is making me go totally crazy. Have you guys ever had this? I think every woman in some stage or another has had this because I thought for so long that I was indestructible. And I was. Like, nothing was really affecting me. And then, like, the last couple of years happened.
It hurt your brain.
It hurt. It nearly damaged my brain.
I feel like you've talked about this on the podcast previously within a separate conversation, but... It gave you like crazy brain zaps.
It
right?
gave me like whenever I got like turned on, I would get these crazy thunderclap headaches. Like it was Jesus trying to like smite me for having an impure thought. Like, yeah, I got these crazy thunderclap headaches, and then even though I'd taken those pills before, I think that my blood pressure has risen as an adult, obviously. And yeah, taking them, even though I took them when I was about 17, 18. Just nearly killed me. So yes, I have had that reaction to hormonal contraception. I'm now on the hormonal coil, which is, again, for so long I thought I was indestructible and contraception didn't affect me emotionally. I am now so fucking moody. So fucking moody.
I feel like it's so hard to know in all the ways that it affects you, because obviously every woman is different, and like it does, you can't always tell. It can happen so gradually. Mm. Like I think I started taking the pill when I was 15.
Holy shit.
And I stopped taking it a year ago.
So oh, yeah, you went cold turkey on everything.
I went cold turkey on all my pills, stopped taking my antidepressants, stopped taking the pill. But I was on the pill for 13 years. And it's quite hard to tell what was my personality. Because I was a teenager when I started taking that. Mm. Like, I don't know what I would have been like if I wasn't taking it, you know? I have to say, coming off the pill and antidepressants at the same time, it's maybe not the most sensible idea to throw it all up like that.
Doctors do not recommend, going cold turkey immediately.
On all the things. But do you know what? I feel really good now that I'm not on either, and I know that all of the ways that I feel are truly me, even when I feel like a psycho.
What differences have you noticed?
I think I just noticed that I don't feel such extremes of emotion.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, antidepressants are obviously great for...
Leveling
everything out anyway.
Which ones were you on?
I actually don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but I was having like really quite depressive episodes for a couple of years. Mm. So I was taking sertraline.
I hate sertraline so much, man.
I actually loved sertraline. I genuinely think it saved my life. So,
so
she's my friend. But I think that lots of people don't react.
No, that's
well
really
to
good.
It.
I genuinely haven't heard of anyone, because it's like sertraline, for anyone who hasn't been into the doctors, that kind of thing, it's usually like the first port.
It's your
call.
Starter pack.
It's your starter pack. They'll see how you do on sertraline, and if it doesn't work, then they'll be doing something else. So that's kind of lucky that, yeah.
Lots of my friends are sertraline well gang, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's the one that people seem to be vibing with.
Interesting.
Sorry, that's a bit of a tangent. I know I'm talking about antidepressants, not the pill. But but the pill, yeah, I just feel like the antidepressants were probably leveling me a bit whilst I was taking those two things in tandem. But now that I take neither, I kind of feel like I've just got more of an understanding of where I sit on most things. And I don't feel like I swing into raging bitch mode so frequently. It does send people into like quite depressive episodes sometimes as well. Mm. It has so many different effects on different people. But I'm now doing no contraception whatsoever other than like good old fashioned condoms.
Oh, yeah. Oh no.
Pulling out.
I know people that don't even use condoms.
I know lots of friends who don't. But
so many women now, and I think this has become like a really big thing recently, are being really in touch with their cycle. So like, I don't know when my period's coming. I'm just like, pfft. But people are using apps to know like when they should be having sex and they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting.
I know a lot of people who've got pregnant using those apps though. So
I don't
trust.
Okay.
I mean, again, every person is different. Maybe you can use it in a way that feels right for you, but...
Yeah. Oh, we're all probably barren.
But
anyway.
I don't know.
It's fine.
I mean, yeah, also that.
Yeah, we're all full of microplastics.
I'd say I mean, I've also got dodgy ovaries. This is now the Sophie Medical History Podcast. I've got polycystic ovary syndrome and also endometriosis. So my cycles are a bit funny anyway.
Yeah.
But I've now been off the pill for a year and I'm pleased to report I'm currently on my period 30 days after my last period.
Nice.
Which is almost a regular cycle.
Nature is healing.
Nature is healing. So if you're not vibing with hormonal contraception, definitely come off it and see where you sit with, but give your body a bit of time to restore its normal functions. Like, I still don't think that my hormone levels are back where they should be after 13 years.
Yeah, we are not telling you to come off your contraception. If you need it, then use
it. If you need it, you need it. But also, there's other alternatives. Yeah. I've got friends with implants, coils. I've got friends doing good old-fashioned pulling out.
Yeah, good old-fashioned pulling out.
Whatever feels right for you.
Yeah, okay. So, is it okay for my boyfriend to pay more for things if he earns nearly triple more than I do?
Ooh.
Interesting.
Thoughts, Han?
Yes, that's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just kind of thinking, if I was the boyfriend, or if I was a girlfriend that earned money, because you know girls can earn money too.
What?
Yeah, crazy, right? I would feel really generous and like I would want to spend money on my beloved. Yeah. So I used to have a boyfriend that earned like significantly more than I did. Like 4 or 5 times the amount that I did.
Ooh.
And he would insist on splitting everything down the middle.
And that's just
interesting,
it,
right?
It hurts a bit, especially if when you're a younger person, you could be earning like not very much money at all.
Yeah.
And it's really expensive out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we split everything like dead center down the middle. And it was kind of like, okay, like, yes, this is an equal partnership. But my parents made a really, really good point. They were like, this isn't your business partner. Like, this is like your romantic life partner. Like, they should be kind of like cutting you a bit of slack and understanding. And they were understanding financially in different ways. But that's the first thing that came to my head. I think that it also causes, I think stuff like that can also cause you to build up a bit of resentment as well.
Totally. Especially if you earn different amounts. You kind of have different expectations of what's a normal amount of money to spend on stuff. So say if your partner who earns more money chooses the holiday you're going to go on, but is actually more money than you would feel comfortable suggesting spending yourself, splitting that then down the middle feels unfair because that isn't something that you would have initiated.
Mm.
Likewise with like where you choose to go for dinner or like getting a taxi home. If you like, oh, I actually really wanted to get the bus because I can't afford to get a taxi.
Yeah.
If they're insistent on getting a taxi, they should pay for the taxi.
I'm just trying to understand the question. Is it that the boyfriend doesn't want to pay for more things or does she perhaps feel a bit uncomfortable?
It's like a feminist discomfort.
For more things. Yeah.
I think that you're allowed to be feminist and be in principle for equality in all ways, but also the practicality of someone earning a lot of money, more money than you in this day and age does mean that it's a slightly more nuanced situation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're a bad woman. If
reparations.
You accept it. Yeah, literally reparations. Accept.
For being a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand feeling kind of two ways about it as a proud feminist myself, but also like life is hard. Like you don't need to kind of make it harder for yourself just on principle. Do you know what I mean? I think that's probably something I would have done in the past, like make, just because like, I'm a very principled person, just making things harder for me than they have to be. Mm-hmm. If this person wants to pay for you and make your life easier, and like God knows as a woman, your life is probably hard enough, then yeah, fucking go for it.
Except they probably just want to give you some treats.
They just want to give you a little treat.
And being treated is nice.
Yeah, being treated is lovely. I hope that helps. All right. 3 go-to recipes for garden dinner parties.
Ooh, we should do some wines in this too, Han.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to eat as well.
We can eat. We can do the two. Okay, so if I was having a garden dinner party,
yeah,
I would do a selection of things. So I'm going to give you recipes that I think would go together. So I think something on the barbecue as like the only thing that you cook when people are there. I'd maybe do some kind of like chicken kebab situation or prawns on the barbecue or like a big side of salmon that you've rubbed in loads of spices and you cook on the barbecue.
Yes.
And then I'm thinking this is quite Greek style. There's lots of like dried mint and oregano and olive oil and lemon involved in whatever.
I like big bowls of stuff.
Big bowls of stuff.
Like a big bowl of minty, basil-y, peachy, mozzarella kind of things.
Always goes down a treat.
Roasted veggies, olive oil, what you fucking called it? Orzo.
Yeah, a nice pasta salad with orzo, because we know that pasta salads can be quite shit. Yeah. If you always did like a Greek salad with orzo in it.
Yes.
Loads of feta, red onion,
I made
juicy
exactly
tomatoes.
That. Fucking, what's the name? Ridiculously beautiful, talented. M the nutritionist.
Yeah, lovely.
Her
Greek pasta salad.
Every single thing that I've made from her is a fucking banger. Like, yeah, I make her recipes so often.
She is brilliant.
She's amazing.
Shout out, Em.
In terms of wines for garden dinner parties, obviously you can't go wrong. With a nice crisp white, this is not based on any fact whatsoever, it's just what I feel like drinking right now. I would probably go for like a lovely aromatic Viognier. It ranges in style from like really crisp and aromatic to kind of slightly on the off dry side, so it's perfect for all the cab drivers that I've spoken to recently. When I've asked them what kind of wine they like to drink, they've all said sweet wines.
Really?
Yeah.
There we go. It's a bit of an off dry for a garden party.
All off dry. So yeah, if you've got some non wine friends around that maybe like something a little bit sweeter, you can get an off dry Viognier. Obviously, you also can't go wrong with a pet nat, just like this
lovely
beautiful one we have here. Lovely and summery. You don't need to splash out on champagne. You can get like the same happiness and exuberance from a pet nat. Totally. Rosé as well, obviously.
You just can't go wrong with a Provence rosé in the summer.
Your Whispering Angel.
Get your Whispering Angel. Also, just make sure you have loads of like dips and like breads.
Mm.
Either make some nice fresh flatbreads or go to some kind of like Turkish or Greek shop and pick up those big fluffy breads, make some tzatziki, make some hummus, or at least like zhuzh up some supermarket hummus.
Mm-hmm. I hope that helps. That sounds absolutely delicious. I'm already hungry again. I've got something that I want to plug just to close out the episode. On Sunday, so this Sunday coming when this podcast comes out, the 16th of July, I will be selling tickets for an extra bonus additional wine club, because you guys can't seem to get enough of them in the summer. It's going to be an exciting location. I'm just popping up once, slightly more east this time. So keep your eyes out for that. Is there anything you want to plug, Soph?
So I've got a sup club coming up on the 16th of August. Pencil that date in your diaries if you fancy coming. It's going to be in East London. It's going to be super, super fun. Tickets are coming out very soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that and save the date if you fancy it.
All right, you heard it here first. Lots of opportunities to get all up in our personal space.
Come say hi.
Come say hi in the coming months. But until next time, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a little review comment as well. It really, really helps us to make more. It proves to sponsors that we're worth the money. And it also gives us a lovely little boost and makes us feel happy and warm inside our hearts.
Every time there's a review.
Every time there's a review, I actually screenshot it and send it to you. I'm like, oh my God, look what they said.
Send it to my mum, send it to everyone. It's very important.
So thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Lots
Bye, guys.
Of love. See you next week.
Bye.